Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Stocks fail to build on yesterday's rally as recession fears resurface on Wall Street.
Investors brace for congressional testimony from Jay Powell.
UK inflation surges to a 40-year high.
And senators reach agreement on a bipartisan gun violence bill.
Look for rent increases in New York City. Plus, Trump-backed Katie Britt beats MAGA Mo Brooks in the Alabama Senate primary. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. Home runs did in the Yankees in a loss at Tampa Bay. Lopsided loss for the Mets in Houston. The Stanley Cup final continues tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and it is currently 5:01 on Wall Street, and futures are lower this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 61 points, Dow futures down 426, and NASDAQ futures down 213. A 10-year Treasury up 13 32nds, yield 3.22%, and the yield on the 2-year 3.14%. Nathan.
Karen, the main event today is congressional testimony on the economy from Jay Powell. Later this morning, the Fed chairman appears before the Senate Banking Committee. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Politics always plays a role in the Fed chairman's appearances, and there will no doubt be efforts to pin the blame for inflation on someone. That's a topic Powell will duck. He'll also try to avoid expressing an opinion on various fiscal responses to inflation now under consideration on Capitol Hill, such as a gas tax suspension. The real key question for the chairman is how high and how fast the Fed needs to raise interest rates. The latest Fed forecast is to just under 4% by the end of the year, just over it in 2023. But there has been pushback from investors and analysts who say the central bank may have to go much higher than that. Powell's answer may have a major impact on trading. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. And you can catch full coverage of Fed Chairman Powell's testimony starting around 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, Nathan, as investors await word from Powell, there are more calls this morning for the Fed to get more aggressive. Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin wants to raise interest rates as fast as possible, as long as it doesn't cause undue harm to markets or the economy.
We are in a situation where inflation is high, it's broad-based, it's persistent, and rates are still well below normal. And so I think the spirit is you want to get back to where you want to go as fast as you can without breaking anything.
And Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin also says he does not expect the economy to swiftly return to pre-pandemic patterns.
A more aggressive Fed, weaker demand for goods, and supply shocks are leading the way for more recession fears. Let's get more on that live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Citigroup says there's a 50% chance of the world economy falling into a recession. As a result, the bank now sees the global economy growing 3% this year and 2.8% in 2023. Economists at Citigroup say if a recession did occur, it's likely to be, quote, garden variety, in which unemployment rises several percentage points and output experiences a couple of weak quarters. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, inflation is also a major concern overseas. Today's reading in the UK is prices jumping to a new four-decade high. We get the latest live with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts in London. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. UK inflation in the year to May ticking up to 9.1%. The reading reflects broad increases in the cost of everything from fuel and electricity to food and beverages. There are also more signs of growing price pressures at the wholesale level, with raw material costs increasing by the most on record. The Bank of England says CPI could hit 11% later this year. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Recession fears and news of the Biden administration's prepared to step up its fight against gas prices has oil on the decline once again. Right now, NYMEX crude is down 4.7% or $5.14 at $104.39 a barrel. This morning, President Biden is asking Congress to enact a gas tax holiday. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president is trying to cool the soaring pump prices as we head into the summer travel season. It is not clear to this point the time frame. Mr. Biden says it will not hurt infrastructure.
Is it going to, in fact, make it difficult to maintain our roads? The answer is we have plenty of capacity to do that.
Biden also says in the long run, there is plenty of oil to drill, 9,000 oil fields. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Great, Ed, thank you. Also in Washington, the Senate has voted to advance a bipartisan gun safety bill, and a vote on final passage is expected later this week. Backers call the measure the biggest breakthrough on the issue in decades. It's designed to improve background checks, secure schools, and giving states federal funds to combat gun violence. Isaac Baltansky is director of policy research at BTIG.
But as we've learned time and time again, the motivator for lawmakers is so often the calendar. And the jet fumes are also in play here because they're trying to leave town for 2 weeks at the end of this week. And that is an undeniable motivator, especially for these lawmakers who are running for reelection.
BTIG's Isaac Baltansky spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, Karen, the latest round of hearings into the January 6th attack at the U.S. Capitol is in the books. Testimony yesterday focused on state and local officials and the pressure they faced from former President Donald Trump to overturn the 2020 election. Committee Democrat Adam Schiff says the system held, but barely.
Anyone who got in the way of Donald Trump's continued hold on power after he lost the election was the subject of a dangerous and escalating campaign of pressure.
Congressman Schiff and other committee members heard from Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, who says he faced a campaign of intimidation, including threats to his wife.
And then some people broke into my daughter-in-law's home, and my son has passed, and she's a widow. And has two kids, and so we're very concerned about her safety also.
Secretary of State Raffensperger says he followed every rabbit hole to make sure Georgia's numbers were accurate, but he says the former president came up short. Right now, S&P futures are lower by 63 points. Dow futures down 430. NASDAQ futures down 217 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 1430 seconds. The yield, 3.22%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 5:07 on Wall Street, 66 degrees in Central Park. The northbound New Jersey Turnpike truck lanes are closed the whole length with overnight road work continuing. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Rent is going up in New York City. Last night, the Rent Guidelines Board voted to increase one-year and two-year leases. On a 5-4 vote, the board decided to raise the rent for rent-stabilized apartments to 3.25% for one-year leases. It will go up to 5% for two-year leases. New York City Mayor Eric Adams said the board's decision will be a burden to tenants at a difficult time. The mayor also acknowledged that small landlords are at risk of bankruptcy because of years of no increases at all. Katie Britt has won the Republican runoff against Representative Mo Brooks for retiring Alabama Senator Richard Shelby's seat. Britt, Shelby's former chief of staff, gained ground after Brooks lost Donald Trump's endorsement in March. Britt got 45% while Brooks received 29%. The head of the Texas Department of Public Safety is now calling the law enforcement response to the massacre at the Robb Elementary School an abject failure. Testifying at a Texas Senate hearing, Colonel Steve McCraw says that there were enough police officers on hand that could have stopped the gunman quickly after he entered the building. Yet, police officers armed with rifles stood and waited in a school hallway for nearly an hour while the gunman carried out the massacre, killing 19 elementary students and two teachers.
Not enough training was done in this situation. Plain and simple, because a bad decision, a terrible decision. Terrible decisions were made by the on-scene commander and should have never happened. Plain and simple.
Colonel McCraw laid out multiple times police failed to engage sooner, 3 minutes into the attack. A jury in California sided with a woman who filed a sex abuse lawsuit against comedian Bill Cosby. Jurors found Cosby sexually abused the then 16-year-old girl at the Playboy Mansion in 1975. The jury awarded Judy Huth, now 64, $500,000. Gloria Allred is one of Huth's attorneys.
Today, our client Judy Huth won real change because she fought Bill Cosby one step at a time. for over 7.5 years.
Attorney Gloria Allred Cosby has denied the allegations. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshaw.
Good morning, Nathan. Nestor Cortes has been a revelation for the Yankees. 8 of his first 9 starts, he didn't allow more than 2 runs, but he has come back to earth a bit at Tampa Bay. Cortes served up 2 home runs first inning. Isak Paredes, 2 innings later, belted his second of the game, and not wanting Cortes to face Paredes a third time, he was removed in the 5th inning, and this was Clark Schmidt's first pitch.
Here is Paredes already with 2 homers and sends one way up into the air into left, but did he get enough? Gonzalez back to the wall, gone! Number 3 tonight for Isak Paredes, and the Rays have a 5-2 lead.
They won the game 5-4, Rays radio the call. Cortes' ERA has gone from 1.3 a month ago to 2.3. Mets started Trevor Williams in Houston. He would not be in the rotation if not for the Max Scherzer injury, and Williams fell to 1-4. Astros hit 3 home runs. They won 8-2. Toronto's Austin Matthews, who scored 60 goals, named NHL MVP. Igor Shesterkin was third. He did, as expected, win the Vezina Trophy, third Ranger goalie to ever win that award. Stanley Cup final resumes tonight in Tampa. Colorado leads 2-1. While Brooks Koepka not having a good year, he has won 4 majors. He's a big name, and now Koepka, the latest to bolt the PGA Tour for the new LIV Tour. Koepka said just last week he hadn't given the LIV Tour much thought. Rob Gronkowski, having retired once before, now doing it again. Played 9 years in New England, came out of retirement to play 2 more with Tom Brady at Tampa Bay. Together they won 4 Super Bowls. Gronk certain to someday go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And potentially certain to retire. Thank you, John. S&P futures down 63 points. Dow futures down 439. NASDAQ futures down 222 points. NYMEX crude down 4.6%, down 505 at $104.47 for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, especially along Long Island and Connecticut. Low 70s today, turn partly to mostly cloudy, upper 70s tomorrow, low 80s Friday, right now 66 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe falling along with U.S. stock index futures and commodities amid ever louder warnings that the Fed's monetary tightening may lead to an economic downturn. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, right now S&P futures are down 61 points, Dow futures down 417, and NASDAQ futures down 209. The DAX in Germany is down 2.1%. 10-year Treasury up 15 30 seconds, yield 3.21%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 4.6% on $5.07 at $104.44 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $11.20 at $18.27.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0515 against the dollar. British pound 1.2227 and the yen's at 136.22. And watching Bitcoin this morning down 2.8% at $20,250. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Joe Biden will call on Congress to enact a gasoline tax holiday as he looks to cool soaring pump prices in the summer. According to a person familiar with the plan, Biden will make a statement today calling on Congress to enact the pause. Senate bargainers have reached an agreement on a bipartisan gun violence bill. It would make gun background checks tougher for the youngest buyers and bolster spending for school safety and mental health programs. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox won. The Nationals beat the Orioles 3-0. The Giants won. The A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more now on all these developments in Washington that Michael Barr just reported on. Terry Haynes joins us this morning, the founder of Pangea Policy. Terry, it's good to speak with you, and we just got word from the White House moments moments ago that President Biden is going to call for a 3-month suspension to the federal gas and diesel tax. First off, is it something that's going to pass muster in Congress? And is it something that's actually going to have an impact on what we pay at the pump?
Good morning, Nathan. A couple of things on that. One, I think the basic politics of the Biden proposal make certain that it's probably not going to pass. The 3-month gas tax moratorium, if I may, is designed to get everybody through, you know, until just before the election. So therefore, Republicans probably won't react to it positively. Secondly, you know, I think it's a drop in the bucket for the public. There's a deep and entrenched cynicism about the steps that the White House wants to take on inflation overall, and you know, 18 cents out of a $5 per gallon trip to the pump isn't going to make anybody warmer and fuzzier towards Biden or the Democrats, and frankly isn't going to make much of a difference at the pump generally. I'll leave the back and forth about whether anybody even sees the 18 cents to economists and experts in oil, but I think this is, you know, very much a drop in the bucket at best, and something that is very unlikely to happen on its own. I think there's a likelihood that you see some version of what used to be called the Build Back Better bill that includes some prescription drug relief and a variety of, you know, maybe some tax rises, all the rest. I've been for a while at non-consensus 60% that something like that happens. It wouldn't be beyond belief to have something on gas tax eventually in there as part of a package of inflation fighting measures. So if you see it, it will be part of that package, and that will probably happen by the end of July, or it won't happen at all.
We also got progress in the Senate on a gun safety bill. We've seen that advance. What's your feel on where that's going to go from here? Are we going to see a vote to pass that before the July 4th break?
Oh, I think so. You know, you and I talked about this on June the 3rd, and I had it as a non-consensus 60% that you know, pretty much what's happening is was 60% likely to happen. I'd raise that to 70% now. I think it gets certainly much more likely. And you've got you had a pretty comfortable margin yesterday on a procedural vote. You know, well over 60 voted to advance the legislation. Doesn't mean they're in favor of every bit of it, but that was an important vote to be able to have the Senate debate it. I do think something like this happens. You've got some very common sense background check improvements. You've got some very common sense red flag improvements. And, of course, you've got Washington doing what Washington does best, which is splashing around a lot of money on things. And I don't mean to sound too cynical on that. The money certainly needs to be splashed in a lot of ways. But that's these days increasingly how Washington deals with things, splashing money at it. So, you know, you've got all those things. They're very hard to argue against. And so I look for something positive to happen here. It is, in political terms, it is both an incumbent protection program in the sense that incumbents want to have something substantial done on guns before the November election, and a testament to what I always tell people, which is that if you got the centrists in both parties, I mean, this political environment, you have the centrists in both political parties combined with the president, frankly, staying out of it by request of those centrists in order to get something done, you know, something will happen. And that's pretty much where we are today.
Thanks, as always. Terry Haynes with us this morning, founder of Pangea Policy. Some insights on all the developments happening in the nation's capital, including this word we got from the White House just this morning that President Biden is going to be calling for a 3-month suspension to the federal gas tax, as we see nationwide average gas prices close to $5 a gallon, plus progress on gun safety legislation with the Senate advancing a compromise bill on that front. Terry, as always, thanks for your insights. Looking ahead to the market open, futures are moving lower ahead of Chairman Powell's testimony on Capitol Hill today. Right now, S&P futures are down 57 points, Dow futures down 390, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 197 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 15/32. The yield, 3.21%. Just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, Chairman Powell preps for 2 days of testimony on Capitol Hill. And now Citigroup joining the calls for a higher risk for a global recession. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, especially across Long Island and Connecticut today with highs in the low 70s. We'll be near 80 tomorrow, turning partly to mostly cloudy, low 80s Friday. Right now, 66 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with the Federal Reserve as Chair Jay Powell prepares to appear before the Senate Banking Committee this morning. Powell is expected to field questions about how high and fast he needs to raise interest rates to slow inflation. At the same time, there are calls for the central bank to be more aggressive. Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin wants to raise rates as fast as possible, but avoid causing undue harm to markets or the economy.
I think you have to be flexible to what happens. The faster inflation comes down, the less you're going to have to do in terms of restrictive monetary policy. But the more difficult the external forces are, the more you'll have to do.
Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin says he supported the decision to raise rates 75 basis points earlier this month. You can catch full coverage of Fed Chairman Powell's Senate testimony today around 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, ahead of that, Karen, a more aggressive Fed, weaker demand and supply shocks are leading the way for more recession fears. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more on that. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Citigroup says there's a 50% chance of the world economy falling into a recession. As a result, the bank now sees the global economy growing 3% this year and 2.8% in 2023. Economists at Citigroup say if a recession did occur, it's likely to be, quote, garden variety, in which unemployment rises several percentage points and output experiences a couple of weak quarters. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Recession fears and news President Biden is calling for a gas tax holiday as oil declining once again. Later today, President Biden will ask Congress to enact a gasoline tax holiday for 3 months. And checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is down 4.7% on $5.19 at $104.32 a barrel. Brent is down more than 4% as well as $109.81.
Also in Washington, Karen, the Senate has voted to advance a bipartisan gun safety bill. A vote on final passage is expected later this week. Isaac Boltansky, Managing Director of Policy Research at BTIG, says there are a couple key points in the bill.
The one is the boyfriend loophole, and the other is very important. It's how are they going to structure federal grants to states in relation to the imposition of state-level red flag laws.
BTIG's Isaac Boltansky spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the show weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 66 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident on the eastbound Jackie Robinson Parkway at Cypress Hill Street. More on that coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. It's going to cost more to live in New York City. Last night, the Rent Guidelines Board voted to increase rents for those who live in rent-stabilized apartments. By a 5-4 margin, the rent board gave the green light to a 3.25% increase on one-year leases. For two-year leases, it will be a 5% increase. The January 6th committee's hearing focused on election officials in Arizona and Georgia. Former President Trump and his allies are accused of pressuring those officials to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Two Georgia election workers, Ruby Freeman and her daughter, testified yesterday. Investigators say they were falsely accused of election tampering by Trump and Rudy Giuliani.
The President of the United States is supposed to represent every American, not to target one, but he targeted me.
Freeman's daughter says there were a lot of people wishing death on her. Katie Britt won the Republican nomination for Senate in Alabama, defeating six-term Congressman Mo Brooks in a primary runoff. Former President Trump endorsed and then unendorsed Brooks, who had run under the banner MAGA Mo. Trump eventually endorsed Britt, who received 45%, while Brooks got 29%. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has won the Democratic primary, putting her on track for a third term to lead the nation's capital. Bowser received 50% of the vote compared to second place Robert White at 39%. Civil trial jurors ruled that Bill Cosby sexually abused a 16-year-old girl at the Playboy Mansion in 1975. The Los Angeles County jury delivered the verdict in favor of Judy Huff, now 64, and awarded her $500,000. Nathan Goldberg is one of Huff's attorneys.
It proves that, you know, you can run, but you can't hide. That no matter what he did so many years ago, thinking that, you know, he could just get away with it, we brought him here to this court to have justice, and we won.
Cosby has repeatedly denied Huth's allegations. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Tampa Bay Rays made a trade just before the season started. They sent Austin Meadows to Detroit for Isak Paredes. Yankees probably happy to hear about that trade. Meadows was somewhat of a Yankee killer, but last night Paredes hit three home runs, solo shots in the first and third innings off Nestor Cortes, and then a 2-1 blast in the fifth. First pitch served up by reliever Clark Schmidt. Paredes had one more at bat. Got hit by a pitch. Rays beat the Yanks 5-4. Mets lost in Houston 8-2. Jose Altuve homered for the Astros. So did Jordan Alvarez, his 19th of the year, 3-run double for Kyle Tucker. Stanley Cup final resumes tonight in Tampa. Colorado leads 2-1. They handed out postseason awards last night. The MVP to Toronto's Austin Matthews after a 60-goal season. Rangers goalie Igor Shesterkin was a finalist for the Hart Trophy. He did win the Vezina for best goalie. Led the league with the goals against just over two. Only previous Ranger winners, Mike Richter and John Van Beesbrook. A settlement between Deshaun Watson and 20 of the 24 plaintiffs suing Watson for sexual misconduct. Watson has denied any wrongdoing. He's now with the Cleveland Browns. He is awaiting discipline from the NFL. Rob Gronkowski said in a statement he walks away with his head held high. This is Gronk's second retirement announcement. That's one more than his longtime teammate, the, of course, still active Tom Brady. Together, they won four Super Bowls, three with New England and one in Tampa. Brooks Koepka said last week he had hardly heard of the new LIV Tour. Now he's joining it. A winner of four majors, although he has struggled this year, Koepka becomes the latest big-name golfer to bolt the PGA. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
The owners and operators of all 41 Broadway theaters in New York City have agreed to adopt an optional masking policy for the month of July. The new policy ends a near year-long policy of requiring masks in theaters at all times, but it stops short of a complete removal of the mandate. New Jersey, Illinois, and inland California had the highest concentrations of the housing markets that face the most risk of declining markets in the first quarter of 2022. A report says the biggest clusters of vulnerable markets are in the New York City and Chicago areas. The New Jersey Assembly has passed legislation that would ease the burden of tax increases on small businesses. Now business leaders want the bill to pass the state Senate. The State Business and Industry Association tells the Star-Ledger businesses are confronting about $250 million in added taxes this fiscal year. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about how some vacant Wall Street office spaces are being converted into places to live.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Target is calling the July 4th weekend a big test for consumer demand.
I'm Lisa Mateo, and on KMOX in St. Louis, I'll be reporting on why the 4th of July holiday will be a big test for consumers.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing's CEO says air travel demand appears to be sustainable, but Dave Calhoun offered a bleak view of the supply problems hitting the aviation industry.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting Walgreens Health has announced a new alliance with Buckeye Health Plan.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
In agreeing to visit Saudi Arabia next month, President Joe Biden has stepped back from his vow to treat the country as a pariah. Critics have blasted him for overlooking Saudi human rights violations. Even so, Biden's trip can serve a valuable purpose. Healthy U.S.-Saudi ties are critical to calming a volatile part of the world and stabilizing global energy markets. When he meets with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, Biden should make clear that improved relations require both nations to respect each other's core interests. For example, if the U.S. is to reaffirm its commitment to Saudi security, then Saudi leaders must pull back from their flirtation with the Russians and Chinese. Biden's trip should be seen not as a concession, but as an investment in a relationship that both states need to work. If Biden can restore that frayed understanding, his visit will have been worth it. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Scattered showers, especially across Long Island and Connecticut. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, low 70s today. It'll turn partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow. Upper 70s, low 80s Friday. Right now, 66 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks in Europe are falling along with U.S. stock index futures and commodities amid ever louder warnings that the Federal Reserve monetary tightening may lead to an economic downturn. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 58 points, Dow futures down 400, and NASDAQ futures down 201. The DAX in Germany is down 2.1%. The 10-year Treasury up 17/32nds, yield 3.20%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 5% on $5.22 at $104.30 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $9.40 at $18.29.50 an ounce. The euro 1.0513 against the dollar. British pound 1.2226 and the yen 135.86. And Bitcoin this morning down 2% at $20,420. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The Senate voted on gun legislation last night after weeks of negotiations. The bipartisan deal had 10 Republican senators on board. Some of the provisions include tougher background checks for firearms buyers under 21. An earthquake in Afghanistan has killed at least 920 people. The magnitude 6.1 earthquake struck in the remote parts of eastern Afghanistan, with officials saying hundreds were injured. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox won. The Nationals beat the Orioles 3-0. The Giants won. The A's lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and investors' eyes will be on Capitol Hill later this morning as Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell begins 2 days of testimony on monetary policy. Markets will be looking for clues on what the Fed plans to do to rein in 40-year inflation. Ahead of that, we're joined by David Rosenberg, founder, chief economist, and strategist at Rosenberg Research. David, good morning. It's always great to speak with you. And we just heard from the White House this morning that President Biden is going to be making a call to try to rein in inflation in gas prices by calling for a 3-month suspension of the federal gas tax. Do you see that having any kind of impact if Congress goes along with it?
Well, look, if it does happen, we're talking about 18 cents for a short period of time. So it's nothing more than a gimmick, politically motivated to show that the White House is trying to do something about inflation. But, I mean, I say, come on, 18 cents. It takes gasoline prices back to where they were 3 weeks ago and would still leave them up more than 50% year over year. So it's really nothing more than a very small move to make it seem as though the White House is doing something, and the economic impact is going to be infinitesimal.
Interesting, though, that the president up to now has said that in order to get a handle on inflation, the Federal Reserve needs room to work, to have its independence, to make the decisions that it's going to make. We are going to hear from Chairman Powell later this morning. He's been talking about a couple of 75 basis point moves. Are you expecting that we're going to get any more clarity from Chairman Powell today when he goes before the Senate Banking Committee?
Well, how much more clarity can we possibly get that we didn't get exactly a week ago at his press conference following the FOMC meeting? So a week has gone by. What really has changed all that much? And what he continued to stress over and over again was the Fed's primary focus on headline inflation. Back in the day, it used to be that core inflation was really the driving force for the Fed. But now they think they can somehow control food and energy prices. So I would say that he's going to continue to beat the drum of the necessity, from a political standpoint, for the lower middle class being hit by headline inflation, damn the torpedoes full steam ahead, that the Fed is going to continue to raise interest rates here until something breaks.
So do you think that Chairman Powell is swayed by the likes of Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin, who just came out and said the Fed should go as aggressively as it can, as fast as it can, as long as it doesn't do damage to the economy?
Well, I don't know. Is it I could flip the question around. Is it Powell going to follow Barkin, or is Barkin following Powell, or basically maybe outside of Esther George? That was a surprise dissent from a traditional hawk. I think most people at the Fed are thinking 50 or 75. A lot are still tilted towards 75 basis points. They know full well that we're in a bear market in equities. The Fed has never tightened policy into this sort of a bear market before. But like I said, they believe their mandate now is headline inflation. It's over 8%. And they're going to continue to tighten policy and probably will hope that we don't fall into recession. But look, we've had 14 Fed tightening cycles since 1950, 11 of them, most of them unintended, landed the economy in recession. So when you're taking a look right now at what the stock market is telling you, the stock market is telling you both the headline and all the cyclical components beneath the veneer is that a recession is staring us in the face. So, but my sense is that if the Fed is determined to get this sort of inflation principally, not exclusively, principally supply-induced, they want to get inflation back down towards 2%. You will only achieve it in this sort of environment by generating a contraction in aggregate demand. The GDP is aggregate demand, and it means a recession is coming sooner rather than later.
That's your call, then, that we're going to see a recession perhaps as soon as this year?
I think it's probably staring us in the face. I don't know why people think it's next year's story. The stock market tends to lead by roughly 6 months of turning points. Not once have we entered into a bear market where the lead time was 12 months. It's never happened before. I think that it's most likely starting in the second half of the year, and it could have already started when you consider we had -1.5 Q1 real GDP. Of course, all the economists say, oh, well, just ignore inventories and exports as if they don't matter. And Atlanta Fed is down to zero for Q2. So I think that we're the decay in the numbers are clearly evident that we're heading into a contraction in real GDP. I think it'll come more forcefully in the second half of the year. And the leading indicators are telling you that. I mean, how often in the past have we had 3 months in a row of negative readings in the conference board's leading economic indicator? Nobody talks about this. Down 3 months in a row and down 4 of the 5 past months. And all people are focused on is inflation. Inflation, by the way, does kill real GDP on its own. But nobody talks about these things. That basically, yeah, the Conference Board's leading indicator is telling you, by the way, that the odds of recession are 9% if you look at the historical record.
Thanks for this, David. Good having you on with us. David Rosenberg of Rosenberg Research. Karen.
Nathan, it is 5:54 on Wall Street. Now to a legal story we're watching. The Supreme Court will issue opinions again on Thursday with only 13 cases left to decide before the summer recess. The most highly anticipated is the decision on Mississippi's ban on abortions, which could mean the end of Roe v. Wade, according to a leaked draft opinion. President Biden has said he is considering executive actions to protect abortion rights. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Mary Ziegler, a professor at UC Davis Law School.
There's also a suggestion of using federal funds to help pay travel and lodging costs for poor women who are crossing state lines to get an abortion.
Assuming that states allow people to travel out of state for abortion without effectively shutting down abortion providers, assuming that happens, then it would be important for people to have the ability to pay, right? There will, again, probably be legal challenges, primarily based on the Hyde Amendment. So some people will say the Hyde Amendment is narrow. It's just about Medicaid reimbursement for abortion. Others will point to language in the Affordable Care Act or the Hyde Amendment essentially saying, you know, defraying the cost of abortion is tantamount to paying for abortion, and that various aspects of federal law make that impossible. Again, I don't know how that kind of federal challenge will go, but we would, again, expect to see litigation about that.
We've talked before about abortion pills and how that may be the new frontier for abortion. Right now, the FDA requires any pharmacy that distributes a drug to obtain a special license. So another proposal is just to make it easier to obtain abortion pills. Is that an easy fix?
I mean, that's certainly an easier fix. It won't obviously address all of the kinds of things that we see red states planning to do in the aftermath of Roe v. Wade being overturned. But I think for many supporters of abortion rights, the additional restrictions on access to abortion medication are not warranted based on existing evidence. And they do make abortion medication harder to get. I think, obviously, in states that will seek to criminalize abortion medication, that's only a piece of a bigger picture, but I think it's certainly something that abortion rights supporters will see to be overdue.
The states that want to criminalize abortion pills, how do you think they'll go about that?
More likely what we're going to see is some combination of kind of bounty schemes like we've seen with Texas's SB 8, where states incentivize people or potentially even require people to report when they have evidence of an abortion taking place. Or we're likely to see lots of cyber surveillance. There are lots of ways that government can access your online data, whether that's someone who searched on Google for abortion or someone's cell phone location data if they traveled for an abortion, you know, period tracker apps and so on, which is why you've seen some proposals from Democrats to focus on digital privacy, because, of course, digital privacy concerns would affect those seeking abortions, but potentially many others as well. If states are trying to figure out who's having abortions, they may be surveying people of reproductive age or even just people who are researching abortion.
And that's Mary Ziegler, a professor at UC Davis Law School, speaking at the Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.